on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is June 26th, and of course, this is our daily session on talking about money. We entertain any money questions. I love them. Any topic that might be forcing you to consider several different options about your money or what you're doing with your financial life, any of those topics, anything related to that, we try to help. Maybe give you some confidence or at least give you some information or a place to go to get information. Now, of course, it's Friday. Yay, everybody loves Friday. And these are the features in our weekly newsletter, premium newsletter we send out. It costs $10 a month, but we send it out every Friday. Today, on the current market conditions, we mentioned Greece, which Monday, the news that there was maybe a breakthrough in the negotiations between the IMF and the ECB and Greece sparked the market. That kind of petered out for kind of the rest of the week, but that was a spark to the market. And it gave some move up, but then the rest of the week was down. The week ended up being down, so that didn't really help a lot. And I also talked about the economic numbers that came out, housing numbers, consumer spending numbers, pretty good. They were very good, actually. In the stock section, a couple stock ideas that we come out every week, a couple stocks ideas. Portfolio management, we talked about emotions that are that drive the market. Investors' behavior that makes markets move. Not just the fundamentals, not just the technicals that you can read and discuss, but also the emotions that drive. Consumer Watch, we talked about, these are all different sections of the newsletter. We talked about a website that you might be interested in if you have flights that are canceled or delayed, there's a website you can go to and get your money back or get some compensation. Go to take a look at it. It's pretty neat. And that was the premium newsletter. Again, $9.99 a month. Get it every week. You can sign up for it at investtalk.com. A follow-up to yesterday's planned guest, Lawrence Kitlikoff, the author of Get What's Yours. Remember, we were going to have him on. We were all set. He was going to be on the second half of the show. And no Mr. Kitlikoff, where he had a family emergency. So he couldn't take the calls and he apologized to us and to our audience, and we'll schedule another date with him very soon. Now, what questions do you have? Do you have some about your money? Any topic about money is welcome. If you have anything about financial situations that you find yourself in that maybe I can help, please give us a call. Our number is 888-99-CHART. Of course, we talk about stocks, and we talk about bonds, and we talk about the market, but any financial issues. I have a pretty good background in insurance, pretty good background in real estate. But this show is about money. So give us a call. Here's a call that came in our 24-hour listener line.
Hello, my name is Bill. I'm from New York, and I enjoy your show on podcast. And I had a question. A friend of mine was recommending oil income trust as a safe way to make income, and I really never heard of these before and don't know how to invest in them. I know you can't recommend a specific trust, but I thought maybe you could tell me of a few different trusts that are available and how are they available. Can I get them through an ETF, or how do you get those? Thank you.
Well, there are some that are traded on the market, oil income trust. There's also, many times that some people confuse master limited partnerships or pipeline master limited partnerships. Those are trusts, can be trusts as well. And those do pay high dividends. And there's a number of them out there. And that's what they're known for, the dividends. That's what you buy them. You buy them for that dividends. It's like, a REIT, of course, is a real estate investment trust, which is different. But it's the same principle. You're looking for income, owning an asset, an equity that throws off lots of income, and oil does do that, obviously. Okay, let me see if I can pull one up here. The one that's most well known is probably the BP Prudhoe Bay Royalty Trust. I'm not recommending this, but it pays about a 14% dividend. It holds overriding royalty interests, 16% of crude oil. The problem I have with these trusts, this is in Prudhoe Bay, is that if they own an asset, especially an oil asset, and they have interest in wells, oil wells eventually go dry. So eventually they could run out of money to pay you. So you have to find out the life of the trusts. How many more years does it have to pay the yield that you're looking at? And what happens is they get fewer and fewer years, the price goes down. The yield looks very attractive because as the price goes down, the yield goes up because the yield is always looking backward. How much did it pay last year based on today's price? Oh, it paid 14%. That's what this one is paying. But that doesn't mean it will pay next year 14%. It's not as simple as, oh, just buy it and I'll just make lots of money. I wish it was. It's just not. So you got to be pretty careful. Remember, if you're holding up an oil trust, you know, it's also subject to prices, oil prices. They got issues. Don't think it's just, you know, I'll do it this way and that, you know, I'll buy it, hold it, and there you go. I wish it was that simple. It's not, never going to be. Thanks for the call, though. Appreciate it. Okay, could the long-awaited correction finally come in the months ahead? Hitting the summer with the same kind of surprise as the summer crash of 2011. I don't know if I would call the crash of 2011 a crash, but it was down 19%, the S&P was. Making the case for summer correction. And this is an article that we'll be referring to and the studies they do and the probabilities of a crash. Not the possibilities, the probabilities. You always look at the probabilities of something, and this is what this article does, looking at the probabilities of it. That's going to be our main talking point. Also, consumer spending and consumer sentiment numbers out this week. I want to talk about them. And Greece is not the only problem that the EU is having. What other problems are confronting them? Basic, fundamental problems that's going to be an issue in the coming months and year or two. Also, a couple of lighter topics. How about California drought? Now, those of people who are not in California, I am broadcasting from Southern California, all 58 counties in California are in a severe drought. But we might be being saved by El Nino. Do you know what that means? Talk about that. Five blue-collar jobs that pay $100,000. Five blue-collar jobs. I think you'll be surprised at some of these jobs. I think you will. Blue-collar jobs. That, you know, I think you'll be surprised. They got five of them. And those are going to be the talking points. Of course, what we really want to talk about is what's on your mind. You come first. Today, the market was mixed. The Dow was up 57 points. The Nasdaq down 32. The S&P up 1. Why was the Dow up so much and the Nasdaq down? Well, you can give Nike much of the credit for the Dow being up that much. Nike had a very good day, and it's kind of a big weighting in the Dow 30, and so that kind of pushed up the whole Dow. Wasn't 100% of the reason, but that was a major part of it. So the market was kind of on the weak side. Even though the Dow and S&P were up, I'm still thinking as I look at the board, look at all the stocks, it's more on the weak side than on the strong side to me as we look at it. But that's what the market did today. What does that mean for the week? Well, you know, S&P 500, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I mean, the market closed on Monday, closed on Friday at 2109, and today it closed at 2101, 8 points down. And you know, that almost describes a whole year for the S&P 500. I mean, if you look at it and you say, okay, well, was it down for, is it down for the year? Nope, it's up maybe a few points Yeah, maybe 10, 15 points for the year so far. That's not a very good market. Not a very good market. But, you know, you can't have a year after year after year of a bull market. It does not work that way. You know, I actually wrote in the newsletter and a couple other papers about what a sideways market can do to try to relieve an overbought situation. And the longer it goes sideways, the more you might have that you might want to, the longer it goes sideways, you can say it's correcting. It's a correction, a sideways movement, but it has to be long sideways movement. And I don't know if we can count 6+ months as long sideways movement yet. Maybe a year, maybe two. Interesting. One of our more popular investment programs at KPP Financial is our Balanced Income Program. We created a strategy designed for investors who have a lower risk tolerance, but you still want some exposure to potential growth. So there's some stock exposure. You know, half of it is high, big blue chip, high dividend paying stocks, and the other half of the portfolio is bonds, high quality, actually most more short-term bonds right now, paying a decent yield. So if you want to take a look at it, go to investtalk.com. And you can ask me, give me a call. Check in now with your questions about dividend pay investments if you want, or any money matters at 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, so our main talking point today is about a correction. There's making the case for a summer correction, name of the article by Michael Gayed, G-A-Y-E-D. I like his writing. I like his studies. And I don't want to go through all the whole article. It's a fairly long article, so you can read it, okay? But he talks about the probabilities of a correction, and he looks at relationships. And really what he's looking at is looking at the utilities relationship between the utilities and what did he compare that with? Utilities, I forgot this is the other one. He also looks at 20-year treasuries versus short-term treasuries, that relationship, and gold versus forest products, those sectors. And they say when one is better than the other, it tends to, the utilities, I think, yeah, he's comparing that with the S&P 500, the overall market, the utility sector. And this is not nothing new. These things have been known for some time, and he's just pointing them out that as at the beginning or the end of May, that it looks like the relationships of these things are kind of suggesting we have a correction. But what's really interesting is those things that he pointed out at the end of May. He says that's not quite there yet. The relationship has to get a little bit more strong or despairing. In other words, separate before you can make the call. And they didn't do any of that. So he's right back where he was. Matter of fact, in some cases, you might be able to say it's just the opposite, indicating that maybe there won't be a correction in the summer. And you know, my personal feeling is about this is the market's way overdue. We're supposed to have one. We should have one. And then we probably will, but I can't tell you when. And he does the same thing. He's not saying you need to react. He's saying what you can do is, and he's done studies and also have I, is that if you can avoid a severe correction or down market as much as you can. You don't have to avoid it completely. That's not the point. But the point is if you could avoid as much as you can, that's much more important than just riding the market up when it turns into a bull market and then riding it down when it turns into a bear market. So hedging, and you've heard me talk about it, it might be the order of the day. Take some risk off the table and hope and wait for that. Well, you maybe don't want to hope for it, but wait for the correction if it happens. And by fall, late fall, or beginning of the winter, if it doesn't happen, then you just go back into the market. Have you thought about a portfolio checkup, having a professional look over your shoulder, look at your holdings? Takes about an hour. I do it. I'll be in San Jose on July 15. Call and set up your own appointment.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Despite all their strengths, there are still some areas of the investment universe that ETFs aren't able to journey to. When to use an ETF versus a closed-end fund? That's our talking point for Monday's podcast. We hope you'll join us then.
Our phone is always open to your questions, whether you're new to investing or have a more complex question. Anything is welcome. As long as it's financial, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, InvestTalk. I'm an avid listener to your podcast. I was calling with a question about dividends. I wanted to find out how long do you need to own a stock before you're eligible for the dividend. I've purchased a couple of stock shares where the dividend was due out within the next couple of days, and obviously I didn't get the dividend share at that point. But I just want to find out how long do I need to own it beforehand in order to obtain that dividend yield. Thank you.
You only have to own it one day. The reason why you didn't get the dividend, even though you owned it, because you didn't own it at what was called the ex-dividend day. The ex-dividend day is the day they announce the dividend. And that's the day that you have to own the stock to get the dividend. They may not pay it for 2 weeks or a month, but they'll say, as of today, this is the ex-dividend day, we are going to pay 22 cents a share as of today, and that dividend will be paid in 3 weeks. So you just have to own the stock at the ex-dividend day. And you don't know when they're going to announce that ex-dividend day. You don't know. You can have a pretty good guess that they pay a dividend. The company pays consistently every quarter. You can have a pretty good guess, but you won't know for sure. But you have to own it only the one day that it goes X. That's what they call it, ex-dividend day, when it goes X. You can sell it the very next day, and even though you don't own it, you'll still get the dividend. So it's a very good question, something that not everybody knows, and a lot of people don't want to ask. They think, okay, I just own the stock, and when they pay the dividend, you'll get it. No, you have to own it on the ex-dividend day. Okay? For instance, I'm looking at a particular company, and they have a 5.1% dividend yield, and the ex-dividend day is June 18th. Okay? So if you owned it on June 18th, you would have got the dividend. Well, to now June 26th. They haven't paid it yet. But you had to own it by that day. You had to own it on that day. Let's go to Cherie in Fremont. How are you doing, Cherie?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yes, I have a question. I want to ask you about Xerox Corporation, the one that makes copy machines. XRX is the symbol. Uh-huh. I want to pick up some stock if it is a good time. So.
Okay, let's take
your feedback on that.
Okay, Xerox Corporation, and in the old days, and I was one of the, Xerox was the company that came out with the copier, and used to call it, I need to Xerox that off. I need to Xerox it. That's like Googling. I need to Google something. And Xerox was the leader. No one else was even close to them. And then they didn't stay up on technology, and they just got crushed. Anyway, it manufactures printing, publishing systems, copiers, scanners, software, provides maintenance services, those things. They're going to make 98 cents this year after making $1.07 last year. They're going to make $1.08 next year. So they're going to rebound. Sales have been slowly falling 3-5% a quarter for the last 2 years. So they're still hurting. And that's probably why the stock has been falling. It was high as $14.25 back in December. Today's at $10.98. So it's lost about 35-40% of value. What is a dollar? Is nothing exciting about Xerox? They pay a dividend of 2.68%, and that's probably pretty secure. I don't see how that's going to go away. But it's not a company that's going to, you know, take off for you. Yeah, will it go back to 14? I would think so, yeah. I think it's going back to 14, and it's at 11. So, yeah, they'll probably do it. On a chart, it just broke down below. I mean, it's really trying to hold support, but it broke down a little bit below support today, and that's a 52-week low. So I'm thinking you got to wait a little bit. Let's see. Let's wait till the stock's falling. It can go down to about $10. I can see that because there's lots of support at $10 too. So I think you just need to be a little bit patient. And, you know, if we get a summer correction, that might be a good time to pick it up. Okay, Cherie?
Yeah, but what's your overall, value of the stock as such, view of the company?
I think it's kind of a weak company to me. I think they're just weak. I think their competition is so stiff, and they have never shown us that they have really strong leadership or something new and innovative. They don't do it anymore. So it was not a company that I would own, Sharia. I just wouldn't.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. That's Xerox, XRX. And I hate to say that. You know, it's a big, old, long-term company, $12 billion company, not small. But, you know, they just don't have anything, I don't know, nothing exciting, and nothing in the pipeline, nothing, what? How can I get excited about it? I just can't. It is below value. But why is it below value? Because there's not much excitement about it. There's nothing to get us going. And I think it will eventually go back to value. I will. So it might be a good play in that sense. Let's say you tuned in today and you've just started to take an interest in investing. Maybe you feel kind of forced into it. Maybe through your 401k. You need to get better. You need to get current. You need to understand interest rates and yields and stock market movements and why it goes up, why it goes down. You need to get straight talk, and that's what we're here for. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART. Chart 888-992-4278. Consumer spending was up 0.9% last month. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's the most in one month that has gone up in 5 or 6 years. Consumer sentiment is at a 5-month high, 96.1 reading, rebounding from a drop in May. This is for June. The consumer sentiment is for June. The consumer spending was for May. Now, what do I like? I like this consumer spending report, even though it's backward looking. I still like it because it talks to me about trends and what the consumer is actually doing. The consumer sentiment report, I don't like it because it tells you what the consumer feels. Okay, feeling is not spending, and the consumer is fickle. Today it can feel good, tomorrow it can feel bad, depending on what's going on in the news. So, you know, if something bad happens around the world somewhere and it's really a disaster, the consumer will feel depressed, and you take that consumer sentiment survey at that time, the numbers will be down. I can't put my finger on it how reliable it is. That's what I don't like. In general, yes, you could say if the consumer is happier, they tend to spend. Yeah. But there's too many things to drive it up and down. So I'm not too keen on that report. But consumer spending looked pretty decent. And the savings rate went down to 5.1 or 5% from 5.4, which I'm okay with. 5% is okay. I mean, it would be nice if it was more, but it's not. So that was out this week, those kind of numbers. Greece, we know it's been in the headlines as usual again, and everybody's getting tired of hearing about it. But Greece is not the only problem EU is facing. And I kind of mentioned this the other day. Portugal is having elections, but it's not just Portugal. Across a lot of weak countries in Europe, there's lots of populist politicians becoming more and more prominent, and it looks like the elections coming around this time are going to be putting in a lot of populist politicians, meaning that all this huge debt and austerity the programs put in place may be reversed, and that could be a big problem for much of Europe, especially the weaker countries. Portugal comes to mind because they're the weakest. And how about everybody hasn't been in the news. How about the Ukraine situation? Do you think that's over? It's not done. It's still blowing up. It's still a problem. And if it gets worse, is Europe and the West going to increase or put more sanctions on Russia? And if that's the case, what will that do to the EU? Because they rely on Russia's oil and energy. When you're putting the screws on Russia, the only way you can put the screws on them really is through their energy that they sell to the West, mostly Europe. So There's some big issues that have to be dealt with that may percolate into the news in the next few months, 6 months. We'll see. Now let's get back to work answering your questions today. Get your questions to us anytime you want. You can call our 24-hour listener line if you want, 888-99-CHART. But first, let's go to G in Oakland.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
I'm pretty good. Can you talk about ConocoPhillips a little bit?
Sure. It's on my buy list. I like it. I want to own it. And as I said, it's on my buy list. It looks like it's putting in a quadruple bottom. That means it hit a bottom back in December, tested that bottom a month later, retested that bottom in March, and it looks like it's trying to come back down close to it again over the last couple of months. Yeah, go ahead, G.
Oh, no, that's it. Okay. I mean, keep going. Keep talking.
Okay. So the reason why is weak, you know, it's because it went from earnings of $5. Everybody knows who ConocoPhillips is. Gates exploration and production of crude oil and natural gas in 27 countries. It's a $76 billion company. It's not a tiny company. It's huge. It pays a 4.7% dividend, which is not in danger. They have a huge cash flow of $12.50 a share. They're going to make 47 cents a share this year, down from $5.30 last year. Therein lies the problem. But next year, it's going to bounce back up to $2.60. Okay? Per share. So, yes, sales have been crushed because oil prices were crushed. Everybody knows about it, and that's why this stock has done so well. But I think it's on my buy list. Gee, it's on my buy list. I haven't bought it, but it's on my buy list.
Okay, great.
Okay, just to let you know.
One other question sure. About that. So, oil, are we waiting for the Saudis to pull back on production, or?
No, the Saudis are going to produce all that they want. I'm more worried about the Iran situation. No one's talking about it. I just love it when no one talks about these things. But Iran, we're in negotiations with Iran over their nuclear stuff, right? And the Obama administration had been talking about that they're close to a deal, whatever that is. I don't know what it is. If a deal is cemented with Iran, if that happens, then oil prices are going to fall again because they got a lot of oil they can pump out there. That worries me. And the other worry I'm concerned with is we should have a correction sometime this summer. And I want to see if that hurts oil prices or not. It may not, but we don't need to be in a big hurry to buy it yet. So I'm just going to be patient.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, G. Appreciate it. That's COP, ConocoPhillips. Now let's get back to our 24-hour listener line. Same number as always, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name's Susan. I'm just starting investing. I had lost some with a big brokerage firm, so I thought I'd do it on my own this time. And I wanted to know about these online stockbrokers. Are they safe? It just seems really simple. And just wondering if there's a catch to it all. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, very good. There's no catch to it. And yes, it is simple, but let me just put a little caveat. Make sure whatever online broker you use is SIPC insured, SIPC insured. You want to have the custodian, the holder of your money, to be insured, SIPC insured. That's insurance up to $500,000 so that if the company goes bankrupt or someone tries to steal your money, you have some protection, okay? So that's the only caveat that I have. I want you to make sure whatever online broker you use is SIPC insured. And most of the well-known ones are SIPC insured, okay? That's all. It's not rocket science as far as getting an account open and actually buying something. The hard part is buying the right something at the right price. That's the harder part. But good. I'm glad to hear it. Good luck. I hope it works for you. InvestTalk 101, step one on your investing journey. There's really very few alternatives to growing your money. You know, not in this environment we're in. You could start a business that make some money for you. You can invest in real estate. That can make money for you. But there are you buying bonds and things. You can make CDs, saving money. I mean, the government has really destroyed the saver in this economy we're in. And by the way, at the same time, they're putting a lot of pain in pension funds and insurance companies, because those guys have to invest their money conservatively and they want to buy bonds and they can't get any return. But be that as it may, investing in stocks will always earn you more over a long period of time. That's the facts. Since 1926, the Standard & Poor's 500 stock market index has gained 10% a year on average. Now, there's going to be years it's not that good. Years are much worse. We know that. But on average, over the long term, you can reasonably expect 7 to 9% per year on your investments. Now, it's not going to be per year. This is the problem I have with people. It's not going to be per year. It's going to be some years great return, some years not so great. Some years down lots. I mean, what? We had a 45% correction in 2008, but made it all up in the very next year. Okay, but think about the dot-com crash. That NASDAQ 100 didn't make it all up until 14 years plus later, just recently. So, you know, it's not per year. Successful investors don't jump around and expect that to be happening every year. That's not how it works. The people who do well have a plan, and they invest to the plan. They set goals. They invest to achieve those goals. They understand the risks involved. They understand how much risk they like or want to take or willing to take, and they don't freak out when things don't go their way. There's a lot of psychology involved here. You know, the person psychology, not the market, not the numbers, that's not where the psychology is. The psychology is in the person. So you need to set your goals and adopt a strategy to achieve those goals. That's what you have to do. And that's Invest Talk 101. So let's get on to the conversation. What money topic would you like to discuss? What is your question on this Friday afternoon, the last day of the week? 888-99-CHART is our direct number. Let's talk to Gary in San Jose. Gary?
Hi there, Steve. How you doing? Am I online?
Yep, yeah, we are. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Thanks for your show. I actually enjoy your show. A lot of knowledge. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
And I called you on the other day, I was wondering if you could shed some light on ticker prices, UCO and ISRG.
UCO is the ProShares Ultra Bloom Crude ETF. It's an ETF corresponding to TWICE, that means 200% leverage, TWICE.
I'm getting a lot of echo. So can I take the answer offline?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so UCO is exchange traded fund corresponding to twice the daily performance of the Dow Jones UBS West Texas Intermediate Crude Oil Sub Index. So you have to understand how that sub index works, that oil sub index first, and then you have to understand they're leveraging it by 200%. And leverage in anything means it's not going to work exactly like you think. It's going to work close to what you think, but not exactly. Now, this oil prices have been pretty flat, around $60, and this chart over the last 2 or 3 months has been pretty flat after bottoming in March, moved up a little bit and been pretty much flat. So, it's 200 leverage. Oil prices go up, this will go up. Oil prices go down, this will go down. So that's what it is. It's not something I'd be interested in because I don't like the leverage part, because you can't rely on it being 200%. So that's UCO, everybody. Let's talk to Brandon in Mill Valley. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I bought an ETF thinking the market was going to go down, and instead I'm going down. So I'm wondering, it's FAZ. What are your thoughts on it from here?
Okay, it's a direction fund, and this one is 300% leverage, three times leverage. And it leverages the Russell 1000, and it's a short. as you say, if the market goes down, this would go up, theoretically, three times the amount the Russell 2000, the Russell 1000 has gone up. The problem is you're in the part of the market that is probably the strongest this year. Now, take that, make sure that's in context. Strongest doesn't mean it's very strong. It's just the strongest. It's stronger than the S&P 500. It's stronger than the Dow. If you were in the Dow, the direction fund, 300%, you'd probably be up because it's down for the year. But the Russell 1000, Russell 2000, the NASDAQ, those indexes are the strongest. They're up like 3% this year. So you're probably down 9, 10% for the year. That would be my guess, by the way, Brandon. If you get a correction, Brandon, you'll be very happy. If you get a 10% correction, you'll be very happy. So hopefully you didn't do this with a lot of your money, and I think you kind of need to be patient to see if that correction develops. If it doesn't develop by, let's say, September, October, then you have to get out, give up. That's my
opinion. All right, Steve.
It's not working for
that
you.
That answers my question. No, it's good to hear what your thoughts on it, because I was getting a little discouraged.
My suggestion is I have some shorts myself, the single, not the leverage ones, but I'm using it as a hedge against owning a bunch of longs. I still own my other bunch of stocks. So if you have still those, maybe those are offsetting this a little bit. I don't know, but, you know, as a hedge, this will work. Okay? Appreciate the call, Brandon. Thank you. How much time do we have? Should I take Jeff? Oh, Jeff, you left. Oh, too bad. Sorry to hear that. Okay, I don't have much time. I want to talk about the California drought before the end of the show, if we can. I also want to talk about 5 blue-collar jobs that pay $100,000 a year. Blue-collar jobs. I'll give you a hint. One is bartending. What? You're going to go, what? No way. You can't make $100,000 bartending. Yes, you can. I'll give you some details. That, I think, is going to be interesting. There's 5 blue-collar jobs that you can make $100,000 or more. Now, I will say this. Not everybody in these blue-collar jobs makes that money, but I'll give you the range of the salaries in those areas. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. California drought. All 58 counties are facing severe drought. We all know that. Talk about that. We're going to take a short break. I know there's questions out there. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. And a reminder that gauging your risk tolerance is now more than just sort of a vague question. Use our free risk analysis tool. It takes just about 3 minutes, and it's the first step in matching your tolerance for risk with the current risk level in your retirement portfolio. Just look for the free risk analysis tool. Just takes about 3 minutes on investtalk.com.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jeff in San Francisco. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, it's me again. I left a message. You thought it was BBT. It was BBP.
P as in Paul.
Sorry, that was me yesterday. I left a message. You and the other guy were talking.
Okay.
So I screwed up on the thing. Evidently, I told you BBT instead of BBP.
Okay.
B as in boy, P as in Paul. It's a BioShares ETF. I wanted to get your idea on it.
Okay.
Buy or not.
Okay.
I bought the one.
Okay, it's following an index, the Life Science Biotechnology Products Index. So one of the things I would do, Jeff, is take a look at what the holdings are in the index, at least the top 10 holdings of that index, and see if those companies make money, because a lot of biotech companies don't make any money and don't have any hope of making money. What that means is, and this is a fairly new ETF, it just came out, you know, at the end of last year, December. What that means is it's going to be very volatile, and you can actually see that this thing has been a lot more volatile than the market, but it's been a lot of up volatility.
Yeah.
So it's doing quite well. But, you know, if we have a problems with the biotech industry, this thing will collapse like a stone and it'll rise like a rocket. So you got to be prepared for that. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed. It went up. It was like 14% for the year a couple times, and it's so I bought one, but just trying to. What's your own personal opinion on?
I
be prepared for a wild ride.
I think
for Gumper.
Yeah, I think you just need to be prepared. I think if you want to, do you own it yet, Jeff?
I own one share of it. I was the guy who owned one share.
Okay, then I would wait for a correction because chances are high you'll get it before. Before fall, sometime in the fall, before fall, and that because you really need to try to pick this up on a bounce, you know, I mean something to fall.
Okay.
Ideally, if it went to $30, it's at $35. That'd be kind of perfect as far as a.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is you wait for it to fall, and then wait for a bounce of a day or two, and jump in and hold on. Okay.
So basically, what you do. Just gotta hold on this one, then don't buy any more till it drops down.
Close. That's what I would do. Yes.
Okay. All right, sir.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Okay. Thanks,
Jeff. And of course, you could watch it. You watch. It'll probably just not go straight up from here. And here I am telling him to wait for the ball. I mean, it could do that. I don't have a crystal ball. I just know that it's going to be very volatile. I can tell just by its recent action since it's been traded. I mean, the first 3 days was huge movement. I mean, 25 to 29 in 3 days. That's a big movement. Big. California drought. 58 states. The National Weather Service Bureau has projecting a 90 plus percent chance of a strong El Nino condition. Well, if that's true, California's drought will be ended. Now. How do you trust the National Weather Service and what they say? And what is an El Nino? For those people who don't live here in the Southern California area, El Nino is when the Pacific Ocean heats up and heats up more than normal. It evaporates more water, and that water, comes on shore to California in the form of rain and snow in the winter, and we need a lot of it. And if we have a strong El Nino, we'll get 150% or more rain and snow than we usually get, which has been very little in the recent several years. So that's what we're looking for us. In Texas, we already know, apparently, have out of their drought. They got tons and tons of water, so that's good for them. 5 blue-collar jobs that pay over $100,000, everybody. New York police. You start at $50,000. Just so for a police officer, $50,000 to $116,000. And if you're a sergeant, it starts at $105,000 in New York. Bartender, the average is $45,000 to $73,000 a year. This including tips, by the way. But if you're in an upscale bar on New York or L.A. or San Francisco, you can make over $100,000. Construction managers, $32,000 to $110,000. Construction. And farmers. Average is about $70,000. Farmers in California, the highest paid, they range from about $90,000 to $120,000. There you go. Blue collar jobs. That's what we're going to do. Maybe that's a good thing. We got to call it a day, everybody. I don't have my closing, but that's okay. We're out of time. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial. Thank you for listening, and I hope you will have a great weekend. So let's do it again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-400-8475.
877-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.